This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are in a series entitled Making a Difference. Every week, I have started out a phrase that you have finished. Of course, if you're first time or new, I don't charge this to you to know yet, but if you come long enough, you will learn it because it's something that is the heartbeat of our church. So I'll start off by saying, you are never closer to the will of God than when you're impacting someone's life in an amazing way, when you're bringing fresh air to someone who feels like the world is closing in on them. And that is why our church exists. Our church exists to make a difference. You got it? And I talked to you a little bit over the past 2 weeks, and I talked about how we are a great commission church, and every church should be a great commission church. We talked about our vision, and we talked about our values. We talked about healthy churches, how they're life-giving and not life-draining, and how we keep the lost as our main focus of attention. So we talked about a lot of things. And so today I want to push the whole Great Commission Church thing. I want to talk to you a little bit about that and making a difference through your life. And so Matthew, the 28th chapter, I'm going to read verses 18 through 20, and this is what we consider the Great Commission. I'm going to be reading it from the Message translation. There it is on the screen. It says, Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. He says, God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He says, then instruct them, watch this, in the practice of all I've commanded you, I will be with you as you do this, watch this, day after day after day, right up until the end of the age. So it looks like Jesus was definitely counting on us to make a difference and to be a witness, not just some of the time, but all of the time. Not just a certain season, but like our entire life. And I think that we have to understand that evangelism for us, the believer, has to be a way of life and it has to be a priority. So Jesus had no what we call plan B. So Jesus comes and he dies on the cross. He sheds his blood. He goes and shows himself to the Father. He does all those things. He's now seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father. And he just knew that his disciples were going to continue to make a difference and everyone that came after. Like, he had no plan B because he says, this is plan A and this is what's got to happen, all right? And so this is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about lifestyle evangelism, lifestyle evangelism. Has anybody in the room ever grew up in a church where maybe you went and knocked on doors and witnessed the people, invite them to church? By show of hands, did anybody ever? Okay, good. All right. And so, you know, I did that. As a little boy, we would knock on doors. My father was a pastor. As a matter of fact, when I had my birthday celebration, you guys put one of the pictures up of me as a little boy with all my curly hair, and I was holding up a sign that said, Jesus Saves. If you look in that picture, my father's standing right next to me. He's holding a microphone. We used to borrow a shopping cart from IGA, and we would put a speaker in it, and then my father would attach a microphone, and we would walk down the streets, and we'd stop at certain corners, and my father would preach and tell them how Jesus died and he loved them and those kind of things. And so, you know, which was absolutely amazing. And I'm absolutely thrilled that I have that, you know, in me from growing up. However, in today's society, the culture's a little bit different. People aren't as friendly with you knocking on their doors and coming in their gates. And it used to be that only businesses had signs that said no soliciting. Now regular people have signs that say no soliciting. But watch this. And so if you remember, I told you that methods change, M-E-T-H-O-D-S. Methods change, but the message stays the same. You got it? And so no, we don't necessarily go and knock on people's doors like we used to, but through our life and how we live, we can be the greatest example of who Jesus really is. Does that make sense? And so that's what I want to talk to you about today. All right, I'm going to give you my definition for lifestyle evangelism. Lifestyle evangelism, here we go. It is the promotion of the lifestyle and love of Jesus. Everything we do, we're pointing you to Christ. We talked about that in the first lesson of this series. So the promotion and lifestyle and love of Jesus in and around the unsaved and uncommitted through genuine relationship to allow the Holy Spirit to coordinate a moment to witness and share the gospel message. And we know that the gospel is the good news, right? That Jesus, the anointed one and his anointing, has already come and done everything he's needed to do to remove all of our burdens and destroy all of our yokes by the power of God. And so now we have to understand that it is our job through relationship. And you got to be careful, because sometimes people say, well, Pastor, I'm not going to be in relationships with somebody who don't love Jesus. And you got to be careful when you talk like that. First of all, understand there's a difference between fellowship and relationship. There's a difference between fellowship and communion with someone and being in relationship with somebody. There's a relationship, could be the relationship I have is they're my coworker, or the relationship I have is they're my neighbor, or the relationship I have is I always like to go and eat at this place and this person is always my waiter or my waitress, and that is the relationship. But you have to learn in those relationships how to build those relationships so you can make a difference in their lives, so the Holy Spirit can open their hearts to receive when you start talking about Jesus. Does that make sense? All right. So that's what we're going to talk about. Psalms 2 and 8. This is in our confession book. I read it all the time. He says, ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And so let me tell you the concern when it comes to lifestyle evangelism. The concern is that most believers are focused on other things and evangelism becomes a distraction for their personal schedule. And that's not good. You got it. When it should really be the part of our everyday life. How many know we should every day be making a difference in someone's life? Isn't that right? Like every single day of our lives. And it's not as hard as we make it seem. You got it. We're looking at it as I need to put it on a list. No, it's not about a list that you put it on. It's just who you are and how you are and how you treat others and how you act, you know, to one another. And you start by your family and your friends and your coworkers and your neighbors. And so what I want to do is I want to take these next few minutes to show you really how to reach people. And this is a very, very important lesson, because this lesson is important to Jesus. You got it? How many know it can be easy to come and say, oh, well, you know, Rev ain't talking about, you know, how to me to get to the next level or how to increase my faith or those kind of things. And all those lessons are good and all those lessons are great. But you got to understand that Jesus is counting on us to make a difference in someone else's life. That's a good place to clap, and you almost missed it. All right, so several ways to reach people. All right, let's jump into it. The first area or the first way to reach people is just your everyday life. Your everyday life should be a witness. The Holy Spirit will begin to open doors when you pray. Father, I thank you this week for opening doors for me to encourage people, for me to talk to people, pray with people, tell people about my church, just make a difference in somebody else's life. And if you pray that prayer, I promise you the Holy Spirit will begin to open the doors. The key is this. When you pray it on Monday, and Monday afternoon he opens the door, you got to be careful, because the enemy will come in with the spirit of fear, trying to stop you from, you know, witnessing or telling someone about Jesus or inviting them to church. And so I'm going to help you get rid of any fears or anxieties, as the case may be, because there should be none when it comes to telling people about Jesus. So your everyday life. Start by, everybody say, being nice. Yes, being nice. And it's so important to be nice. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah, it's so important to be nice. It's so important to be a nice Christian and not a mean Christian. Isn't that right? You got it. You know, like if we're saved and we're Christians, it doesn't mean that we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we've got it all together. But it should mean that we're showing the love of Jesus in an unforgettable way when it comes to anybody that we come into contact with. Like, it's really not hard to smile and it's not hard to be nice, right? Like when I go, you know, out to dinner with lady and someone comes to our table, you know, and they say, hey, how you doing? The first thing we always ask them is we say, hey, what's your name? And the lady said, you know, I used to do that years ago, but I just stopped asking because nobody cares. I said, no, don't think like that. You know, and so I asked them, what's their name? You got it? And because we're going to build a relationship with them. We already know we're going to give them a big tip. You got it? It doesn't even matter about their service and that kind of thing. You know, 20% is where we stop at the bottom. You understand? Like, that's the lowest you're going to get. And we work our way up, you know, and so we do that. But we don't, you know, I don't have my menu and I'm sitting at the table. She said, what would you like to? But do you know people do that?
Yeah,
people do that. You got it. And so, oh, got to wait. You do a little waitressing on the side, don't you, Zan? Yeah. And so that struck a nerve, praise the Lord. You know, and just me, like, I get it if your food is not right and you need your food to be fixed. That's no problem. But you don't have to be mean about it, right? Like, you could be like, hey, ma'am, excuse me. You know, I actually asked for there to be no onions in their onions, so if you wouldn't mind. You got it. Like you have, because my thing is, if the Holy Spirit can't open the door and do his part if we don't do our part. Doesn't that make sense? So we have to do our part. When you go into wherever you go, Food Lion, the pig, Publix, Harris Teeter, Walmart, just wherever you go and shop. You know, when you go up with your groceries, you already got a big load. You know, the girl behind the cash register is probably new, probably had a lot going on that day. It's not going to hurt to say, hey, how you doing today? You know, and just make small talk. We have to learn how to show the love of Jesus in an unforgettable way, because whether you realize it or not, they're probably going to remember that you were the nice person. Doesn't that make sense? Yeah, and so smile and be nice. And the reason we smile is because we show acceptance by smiling. You got it. If I walk up to you and I'm smiling, then you automatically guards are down. Isn't that right? But if I walk up to you like, yeah, well, then you're going to be like, okay, what's going on with this brother? You understand what I'm saying? You know, imagine you're a waitress and you come to the table, you know, and I'm sitting there and you say, hey, my name is so-and-so. You know, I'll be your server. I'm like, that's not going to go good, right? But if I'm like, hey, what's your name? You say, my name is Zanquavia. Hey, Zanquavia. Well, nice to meet you today. You got it. It automatically opens up a better dialogue. And I think the world just needs to be like that, period. Anyways, I think we just need to be like that. Okay, so be nice. Smile. Here's another one. Be funny. Like laughter is good medicine. The Bible says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It's like okay to laugh and bring humor. One thing you know in my lessons every Sunday, I'm always going to bring humor. I'm always going to laugh. I'm going to give you the word. It's going to be theologically sound, but I'm going to have a good time doing it. You know, a couple weeks ago, I had a joke and I forgot to give it at the 9 o'clock, but then I gave it at 11 o'clock. You got it? And so, matter of fact, I have another joke. I gave it to the 9 o'clock. It went good. Do y'all want to know the joke? All right. So my only deal is when I give you a joke at the end, you have to laugh. That's it. That's all you got to do. You got to laugh. So there was a pastor, and the pastor dies, and he goes to heaven. So he is standing in line, and it's a long line to get to the gates, right? And Peter is the one with the list. You got it. Lamb's Book of Life. You know, my sanctified imagination. Making sure you're on the list before you get in. I'm not saying that it's going to be exactly like this. Y'all understand it's just a joke, right? And so the pastor's standing there, and he's waiting to get in. Well, in front of the pastor is this guy that's got this mohawk. He's got this loud colored t-shirt on. He's got ripped up jeans on. So they finally make it up to the front. So Peter asks the gentleman in front of the pastor, he says, well, tell me a little bit about you. I need to make sure you're on the list. He says, my name is John Baker. I'm from New York City. I'm a taxi driver, right? And so sure enough, Peter looks, says, yeah, we got a John Baker. Okay, come on in. And so they come in and they give him a shiny robe and a shiny staff. I mean, the thing is sparkling, right? So the dude goes on in. And then the pastor comes up. He says, well, I am Pastor, Reverend, Prophet, Dr. So-and-so. You got it? And he gives all his, and they said, oh, yep, sure enough, Pastor, you are on the list. And so they give him just a regular cotton robe and a wooden staff. So now the pastor's like, hold on, wait a minute. How does the taxi cab driver from New York get all the shiny stuff and I just get this bland stuff? And Peter looks at the pastor. He says, Pastor, here in heaven, we are all about results. He said, when you prayed, the people slept. But when he drove, the people prayed. Y'all know that was funny. Ooh, Jesus. But be funny. Like a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Like, I'm challenging you. I challenge at 9 o'clock this week. This is what you got to do. Just go online, or get a joke book and find a good joke, right? And share it with either your neighbors or your friends or somebody on your job. You will be amazed how it'll break up any stress or anxiety or any craziness. And watch this. You might be the only light that someone ever knows. So you got to be a light that shines bright. You know, use my jokes if you got to. I got them from somebody else, right? So what I'm saying is, if we are going to win people to Jesus, we have to have, watch this, we have to present ourselves with an open life. You got it? Where we're willing to smile and be nice and be funny and just make sure that we're showing the love of Jesus in an unforgettable way. That we don't look down on people. You got it? When you start developing relationships with your neighbors and they start knowing, okay, this is a nice guy or this lady's nice, and they go to church and those kind of things. And what you don't know is, as you're developing relationships, those people are starting to feel like they can trust you. They're starting to feel like they can say anything that they need to say to you. And then the next thing you know, they're saying, yeah, you know, things have been good, but I've been kind of struggling in that area. And the last thing you need to do is act surprised. Like, oh, I didn't know I was messing with somebody like that. No, that's not what you have to thank God that someone's opening up. And so the number one thing is, when they open up, remember that that conversation is just between y'all. It doesn't go to anybody else. You got it? And then number two, remember, that is a no judgment zone, because now the Holy Spirit is beginning to open their heart for you to be able to minister to them. Does that make sense? This is good teaching in here, whether you know it or not. Amen? All right. So you got to do that. And another thing, invite people to church functions. When we have friends and family days or just regular Sundays. And y'all, I mean, we're in church for an hour and 10 minutes. So it's not a long time. And they're going to have a good time. And nobody's going to bother them. Pastor's not going to call them out. You understand what I'm saying? And so this is a safe place for you to bring people to. Even if there's people that, like, Pastor, they don't know nothing about church, this is the right place for them to come. Pastor, they're hurting. This is the right place for them to come. You got it? And then I think the most powerful thing you can do is share your personal testimony. You, each person in this room, I'm talking about you right now. Don't look to the person to the left or to the right. You have a powerful testimony. God has done some things in your life, and if you're willing to open up and share those things that God has done in your life, it'll help somebody else. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so I'm going to give you the components of an effective testimony. Because when God opens somebody's heart up, you need to be ready, you got it, to share, not mumbling, not trying to figure things out. And it's real easy. It is so easy. And I'd rather give you this easy way so you're not trying to figure out a hard way, all right? Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, especially with church, you can use church as like man, yeah, we had a good time at our church, or my kids love the church, and you kind of use that how, man, the church has been helping me. And then you get into your own personal testimony. All right, so the first thing, letter A, everybody say letter A. Letter A, where I was. What do you mean by that, Pastor? You know, you're talking to him. Hey, say, listen, I understand what you're saying, because I was in a really bad place one time. You got it? No, I'm telling you, I was at rock bottom. You got it? I was in a bad place. And then letter B, everybody say what was happening. So now you tell them where you were. I was in a bad place. You got it. And then what was happening? You got it. My marriage wasn't the way it needed to be. And, you know, I wasn't doing so good on my job. And, you know, and this was happening in my relationship with my children. Just you know, wherever it was. But then, and you don't dwell on that, but you need to let them know, because they need to know that they're not the only one who's ever been through something. So you have to be honest with people. You got it? You are most effective when you are most transparent. Never be ashamed to tell people about your life and what you went through and how things happen in your life. I tell from time to time the testimony how when I was sheltered kind of as a kid, you know, I'm not mad about that. It saved me from a whole lot of stuff. I go to the Marine Corps. Man, I don't know what strip clubs are. I don't know what all this stuff is. I didn't know what flicks were and, you know, all those kind of things. And these guys start, you know, having movies in the room of naked women and, you know, pornography and all those kind of things. Watch this. And even though I knew I wasn't supposed to watch it, I started watching it. And then I wanted to watch it more and more and more. And so I'll give you my testimony about how I use the scripture and confession and prayer and someone helping me. You got it. And I got to the point where, man, I was delivered from it totally. It doesn't never bother me if I ever saw it again. I've seen it again. You got it. Since that, but I can see it. It doesn't bother me. I don't think about it. Why? Because I wanted to be delivered and God really delivered me. Does that make sense? So when I first started telling that testimony, I'm talking about friends, people like, man, you kind of crazy. Like, that's kind of like private. You got it? No, I'm a pastor. My life is an open book. How do I not know if there's someone in this room or online dealing with something? And watch this. And that can be a strong addiction. You got it? And I got to let them know, listen, I didn't even want to get caught. I just kind of got caught up in it. Watch this. But I was able to break through from it by the help of God. And if I was able to break from it, you're able to break from it. You are most effective when you are most transparent. Does that make sense? Yeah, because I'm at the end of the day, most people want to do the right things. You got it. And I try to help people with that. You know, Lady LaCanti and I, we don't do much of the marriage counseling anymore. Thank God for Elder and Mother and for Pat and Deb, and they handle all that. But, you know, in the early days, we were doing it all. And, you know, and there would be situations where, you know, she'd be saying, I called him the pornography. That's it. We're going to divorce. I said, oh, wait a minute. I'm not saying it's right. And I understand your hurt, but there's some things you need to understand. Does that make sense? And that's how we help people, through being transparent. And watch this. And my addiction, watch this, was one thing, and someone else's addiction might be the same, something different, but the principle is the same, that if God delivered you from one thing, he can deliver you from something else. Isn't that good? So what you do is where I was, what was happening, and then what God did for me. That's the next part. And say, man, I can't even try to explain all to you. But all I knew is I just started going to the church, and it prompted me to start wanting to read the word for myself. And my church makes it easy for us to read the word. We even have, you know, prayer calls Monday through Friday. And they've got devotions where, you know, every day it could tell you, read these scriptures and those kind of things. And little by little, man, God just started changing me. I started being more happier than I ever was before. And I didn't even feel like doing those things anymore. And to be honest, there's certain people I just stop hanging around, and my life started getting better. You got it? So what God did for me, which leads to letter D and where I am now. And man, I'm telling you, I'm in such a good place now. My marriage is better. My relationship with my kids is doing good. I'm doing great on my job, you know, and all those kind of things. And then letter E, which is the most important thing, if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, there is absolutely no telling where I would be. And that's how you do it. It's as simple as that. That is exactly how y'all are doing it. All right. Are y'all getting anything out of this? All right, let's keep going. Luke, the 10th chapter and the 30th verse. Luke, the 10th chapter and the 30th verse. Watch this. This is what we would call the story of the Good Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed him, leaving him half dead. Watch verse 31. And by chance, there came a certain priest, preacher, pastor, that way. And when he saw him, class, what did he do? He passed by on the other side. Everybody say, mm-mm-mm. All right, verse 32. And likewise, a Levite, another religious person, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and did what, class? Passed by on the other side. Everybody say, mm-mm. Verse 33. But a certain Samaritan let me just go ahead and tell you in advance, had no dealings with Jews. You got it? They were just, they didn't even mess with each other. As he journeyed, came where he was. You got it? As a matter of fact, it was Jews that didn't mess with Samaritans because they thought that they were lesser than them. But watch how the Samaritan, who they thought was lesser, is the one who steps in. All right, now let's keep reading, verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, watch this, he had compassion on him. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Jesus asked. And in verse 37, they replied, and he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do the same, or go and do likewise. I want to show you real quick a few things that we can pull from this story. All right. Number one, the first thing, talking about the Samaritan, he did not allow his schedule to rob him of an opportunity to serve. Some people are too busy. You got it. And you should never be too busy to stop when someone tells you they're going through something, to just give them 5 minutes to encourage them, pray for them. If you're too busy to give somebody 5 minutes, you're too busy. Or maybe the Lord lays somebody on your heart, and all you got to do is text them a 30-second text. Hey, just thinking about you today. You know, hope you're doing good. Stay in the fight. You got it. Keep swinging something, right? But like if you're too busy to send a 30-second text, you're too busy. Agreed? All right, number two. He addressed the man's brokenness without rebuke or ridicule. We kind of talked about that earlier. When people tell you what's going on with them, you don't rebuke them. You don't ridicule them. They are where they are. It's your job to help them to get to Jesus. All right? Number three, he touches him with a hand of compassion and not just hands of duty. All right? He didn't have, nobody else will help this guy. I got to help this guy. He didn't have that he had compassion. And you've got to be the same way. There are people that Jesus is going to put in your path. And when you notice that Jesus is putting them in your path, I got to stop and do this right now. No, because that's the wrong attitude. And if you do that, then you watch this. Then probably the moment won't be as strong as it could be had you had the right attitude. Number four, he treats him, watch this, with value by providing quality ministry. The Bible says he took his own wine and he took his own oil. You got it, and he cared for them. Number five, he brings him to a safe environment so others could help care for him. Bring him to WLCC. Bottom line, bring them to death. If they're hurting, you got it. If they're addicted, if they're living a life that you would say, man, God wouldn't approve of that. I don't care what it is. You just let them come to WLCC. And you don't be the one to judge. You got it. And let them come week in and week out and let them hear the word. You got it. And that word is an incorruptible seed. And it begins to work on you and me. You got it. And not overnight, but over time, because of the word, we get better and better and better to the degree that desire builds up in you that I don't want to be like that, but I want to be like that. Does that make sense? And when you're inviting people to church, you know, you have to be willing to make adjustments. They say, I'm coming to the 11. You can't say, I'll come to the 9. You're going to have to come to the 9. No, that day you might have to come to the 11 and say, and then I'll meet you outside. You got it. And walk in with you so it makes it comfortable for them. Amen. You know, you've been here a while now, so you might have forgot. But when you're a first-time friend, you know, for some people, that's like, okay, that's kind of a lot going on. Everybody knows everybody, but I don't know everybody. And that's why I tell you, you know, when you see somebody, say hi. Like, speak to everybody you see in this place. And especially if you don't know them, talk to them. Say hello. Ask them their name because we're all family. All right. Number six, he arranged for future care by making a financial investment in his care. He wasn't scared to spend a little bit of his money. If you're at the grocery store and the person in front of you, you know, at food line, and it's $22, you got it. And you heard the guy say $22, and the Holy Spirit says pay for it. You got it. When God tells you to do something, you have to do it with deliberate speed. Number one, they're about to use their card, you know, and you got to get over the fear of how people think. You know, we Lady and I, we do things for people all the time, you know, out of gratitude because of how God has been so good to us. You got it. And I used to sometimes back up a little bit because people would be a little fussy with you when you did that kind of stuff, right? But I just got to the point, I don't care. Even if they get a little upset with me, it doesn't matter. I'm going to smile and show the love of Jesus in an unforgettable way. You got it? And so I used to pay for people in front of me. Now sometimes I'll pay for people behind me, you know, if it works out. And so I was just at Target the other day, just getting two little things. I'm not like some of y'all. Y'all go into Target for two things, you come out with $400 worth of stuff. I don't do that, right? And so anyway. Anyways, I go in for my two things. See, brothers, we are very focused when we shop. We know exactly what we want. We go to that aisle, we get those two things, and we say, yeah. Lady says, I don't know how you do that. I go in for two things and come back with 27, 14 things. All right. So So, all right. So there was a lady behind me, and the person didn't stop the conveyor belt, so it went right up to mine. I said, "Ma'am, just add hers in, but put hers in a separate bag." So she just kind of looked at me. I said, "I took care of yours for you today. God bless you. Have a great day." So I already got my own spiel. But then when I did that, she automatically calmed down. She smiled and said, "Well, it's going to be a great day now. You got it." She's never going to forget that. And you're never closer to the will of God than when you're impacting somebody's life in an amazing way. Amen. All right, let's go home, guys. All right, here we go. I'm going to give you, as we go home, 5 keys to committing your life to this evangelism style. Because it's easy to start today and stop next week. So I'm going to give you 5. If you can't write them down right now, that's fine, because you know this lesson's going to be on social media. It's going to be on our website. It's going to be on YouTube. So you can come back and get them if you need to. All right. Number one, consciousness. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I have to have a consciousness that it is my responsibility to win others to Jesus. Like Jesus is counting on me. All right. Number two, conviction. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I need to be convicted when I neglect the fact that I'm supposed to impact people's lives in an amazing way. I should be convicted if I go 2 weeks and haven't made a difference in someone's life or haven't invited someone to church. Like, I should be convicted, because that's part of what we are called to do. Number three, compassion, which I love. It is the product of spiritual empowerment for the task. And so the reason that I don't mind stopping and talking with people and praying with people and encouraging people is because the same compassion Jesus had for me is the same compassion that I have for others. Number four, consistency. What is that, Pastor? The commitment to continue to touch people's lives until what? Either until I go to heaven or Jesus comes back. And then my last and final one in closing, celebration. What's that one mean, Pastor? It is a joy in heaven and on earth when people are converted to Christ. The Bible says that that's the only time in heaven that the angels rejoice, you got it, when someone gives their life to Jesus. And so it's so vitally important. Heads about, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. I know a few people have to move, but if I could have very limited movement, and I want you to do me a favor. It's very early. It's 12:03. We started at 11. We're only 1 hour and 3 minutes in, and we're going to be done in about 3 to 4 minutes. So I want you to do me a favor. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me today through this lesson? And I believe that He'll talk to us. Some of us, it's going to be that, hey, remember when He talked about that addiction part? Well, just like it worked for Pastor, it'll work for you. And then somebody else, He might say, hey, you know, you can be a little straight face when you go to Food Line, and that might be your thing. Or somebody else says, you know, it's been a while since you invited somebody, you know, to church. But whatever the Holy Spirit speaks to you about, because He's not going to beat you up with it. He's not going to make you feel bad about it, because there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. But when He convicts us, He just convinces us that His way is the right way. And so we've already done our appeals earlier. So what I want to do is I want to pray for you. So let's pray. Father, I thank You for every person that's under the sound of my voice in this room and online. And I just thank You, Father, that for the incredible impact that we are making and are going to continue to make. I ask You, even on this week, that You will give us open doors for us to make a difference in someone's life, to invite someone to church, to share our own life story with. And so, Father, I thank You that right now, in the name of Jesus, that You are opening the hearts of the uncommitted and the unsaved to hear our testimonies, Father, so it can change their life. I thank You that we're going to get somebody saved this week in Jesus' name. We're not even going to wait till they get to church on Sunday. We're going to get them saved in the parking lot, or we're going to get them saved in the store and say, now come with me to church on Sunday. But I thank You, Father, that we are going to turn this world upside down with the way we live our lives. So, Father, be with us this week. Lead us this week. Guide us this week. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise? Amen.